Dr. McLellan's going to come now and just give a little introduction to our brother tonight, today.
He's taking a big risk letting me do the introduction. That I first met Brother McRae in 1969 when he and I were both studying for the Free Presbyterian Ministry, and we were both ordained in 1972, Willie in the early part in February and I in October. Willie went on to go north to a place called Machrafelt, and I went south to Tandragee in County Armagh. Now, our brother is a multi-talented man, and being a preacher myself, I have to give you three P's. I was going to give you four, but I'll restrict it to three P's. And first of all, the first one is that Willie is first and foremost a preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and was greatly used in establishing and building up the Machrafelt congregation in County Londonderry in Northern Ireland. And what he did, that he had many, many gospel missions, innumerable gospel missions, and has had the blessing of seeing many, many people come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's first of all a preacher. Then the second P is the word praise. Willie has been gifted with a fine singing voice, and he made his first gospel record way back in 1971, and that was followed by many, many more. He's traveled the world preaching the Word of God and praising God in song. Dr. Saunders has mentioned that at our opening mission here in 1976, that with Dr. Paisley preaching, our brother was along each night to sing for us. And if you check our historical boards out there in the corridor outside the back of a church, you'll see his name mentioned there in the advertisement for that mission. So he preached and he sang. The third P is the word politics, because he's not only a preacher, but he is a politician. And he started his political involvement in Northern Ireland, where he became, this is about 30 years ago, he became vice chairman and then chairman of the local Machrafelt council, the town council. And then he was elected to the Northern Ireland Parliament, where he served for about 30 years. And then concurrent with that, he also was elected to the British Parliament in Westminster, where he served the interests of Northern Ireland very well for some 25 years. Now, you imagine somebody with the job of John Tory and Doug Ford and Justin Trudeau all at the same, working at the same time. Well, he did three different things, and as well as that, he preached in his church, looked after his church, and he also was used in the hands of the Lord for the work of God in a wonderful way. He retired from the House of Commons, and then he was made Lord. So he's actually Lord McRae. And his wife, she is Lady McRae. And I was asking her, am I supposed to curtsy to her when I meet? But I don't think she thought that was necessary. But the Lord has blessed them. And it reminds me of the book of Samuel where it says, them that honor me, I will honor. And our brother and sister have been greatly honored. And they suffered for the cause of the Lord Jesus. I just was looking at a book that they've done for their 50th anniversary. And there was a picture of Willie standing before the window of his house. And the window was riddled with bullets, because the IRA, the Irish Republican Army, they tried to murder him, and the whole window is full of bullets. So he suffered for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have greatly enjoyed their presence here this last week in Port Hope, preaching and praising the Lord our God. And we're delighted that he and his wife are with us here today for our services. As Larry said, sadly, they have to leave immediately after the evening service because our flight is 11:15 tonight, and so they have to get out there in good time. So if you want to talk to them, you better do it this morning because there'll be no time tonight. But it's so good to have Willie and Ann here and friends for a long time, and we wish them well and trust the Lord will bless them as they share with us today and then as they travel tonight. Willie has an appointment in the House of Lords tomorrow, and so that's why he has to get offside so very quick. The Lord bless you, brother. We're glad to have you with us, and the Lord bless your ministry. I forgot to tell you, he has five children as well, so he has to look after them as well as all the other things he does. He reminds me of the Energizer battery.
Above thine own ambition, hear another voice is sounding clear. It is the call of God to thee. Oh, leave thine all and follow me. Go through a God thy vows to pay. God's very best. The call of God, it is so clear, but friendship's call and home is dear. How lonely was the path he trod, then wilt thou not go through with God. Go through with God thy vows to pay, thy life upon the altar lay. Let the Holy Ghost just do the rest. He'll bring to thee God's very best. The price is high, severe the test for those who would enjoy God's best. Surrender all, oh, take the road with those who will go vows to pay, thy life upon the altar lay. The Holy Ghost
empty and broken, I came back to him. Vessel unworthy, so scarred with sin, he did not despair, he started over again. And I'll bless the day he didn't throw the clay away. Over and over, he molds me and makes me into his likeness. He fashions the clay. Oh, yes, a vessel of honor I am today. And it's all because Jesus didn't throw the clay away. He is a potter, and I'm just the clay, molded in his image. He wants me to stay. But when I stumble and I fall and my vessel breaks, he picks up the broken pieces. He doesn't throw the clay away. Over and over, he molds me and makes me into his likeness. He fashions the clay. Oh, a vessel of honor I am today. And it's all because Jesus didn't throw the clay away. It's all because Jesus didn't throw the clay away.
I want us to open our Bibles this morning in the book of the Acts of the Apostles in the chapter number 2. The second chapter of the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Can I say to Dr. Saunders and also Dr. McClellan, thank you for the invitation and the introduction. We pray that God will indeed bless us as we meet together around the precious, infallible word of the living God. I do apologize that I am rushing immediately after the service this evening, but the Lord knows we need to get that flight to get back to Ulster once again and back also to the United Kingdom. Let's turn to the book of the Acts of the Apostles in the chapter 2. We commence to read at verse number 37. Let's read the word of God together, please. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin, and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and his infallible truth for his name's sake. Amen. Let's just have a word of prayer and commit ourselves to the Lord at the throne of grace in prayer. Eternal God and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word. We pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou wilt take of thy word and that thou wilt write it upon each and every one of our hearts. We pray today that thou wilt truly bless us and that thou wilt cover us afresh in the precious blood. Grant that our God, that we might hear a word from thee, that our ears might be sensitive to hear thy voice. And, O God, we pray that thou wilt help us to go forward, to claim ground in the name of Jesus, and to press on, press upward and press homeward until Jesus comes or calls. We pray this in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But what kind of a church was it that the Lord Jesus Christ said he was going to build? First of all, it says, he said, I will build my church. And of course, that is so important for us to this morning to know that we are in the church of Jesus Christ, that we are in the family of God, that we are redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want us to look in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, and I want us to see some of the characteristics of that church of Jesus Christ. And then I look back over 50 years that God gave me in Macrofelt in the congregation, in the early days of the Free Presbyterian Witness, and Brother McClellan was there, and we were there together sharing in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and being a part of the Lord's work. What a privilege that God called us and put us into the ministry, give us the opportunity of preaching Christ to men and women that were lost in their sin and bound for a Christless and an endless hell. But thank God, through the blood of Christ and through the sacrifice of the Savior, that they would know the Lord Jesus as their Savior and have that certainty that the fires of hell they would never experience, but praise God, they will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, all because of God's amazing and wonderful grace. But I want us to look at the characteristics of this church that Jesus Christ said. And I want us to look in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, and I want us to think about the characteristics, yes, of the Free Presbyterian Witness, because I believe they're the marks for the Church of Christ to this very day. In the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, in verse number 14, it says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And I want to tell you about the witness of the Free Presbyterian Church down the years has been. It was built because of it was a church of prayer. The brethren that founded the work of God under God were men who knew how to pray. And you will find that over and over again in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, there's the emphasis upon the necessity to move forward on your knees in prayer. It says they continued. It said they continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women. In chapter 2, in verse number 42, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayer." And therefore, we see once again the necessity of prayer in the, among the people of God. In chapter 4 of the book of the Acts of the Apostles, in verse number 23, it says, "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard this, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is." Down to verse 31. "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." Verse 33, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace is upon them all." But remember, it was based on prayer. They first of all sought the face of God in prayer. And friend, it is so important that God's people know how to pray, because Dr. Paisley and the men that established the Free Presbyterian Witness, the characteristic of them in the early days was their times of prayer, seeking the face of God. Do you remember Elijah? Before Elijah ever stepped into the presence of Ahab, he had spent time in the presence of God in prayer. He knew the mind of God. He sought the face of God. He was there before the Lord. He claimed the promises of God in prayer as he sought God's face in prayer. And then he went forth to stand before Elijah. It is so important for God's people to take the time to pray. And I earnestly pray that God will urge upon every child of God in this house of God this morning, that everyone who knows the Savior, take the time to pray. Pray privately, but then come to meet together as the people of God did. They continued with one accord in prayer. They prayed together. They prayed together. They sought the face of God in prayer. Now, these were days of opposition. There was great opposition in these days. In chapter 4 and verse number 21, it says this. It says, "So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done." It was a time of opposition. In chapter 5, in the verse number 18, it says, "And laid their hands on the apostles, and they put them in the common prison." In chapter 8, in the verse number 1, "And Saul was consenting unto his death." That was unto Stephen's death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. In the early days of the Free Presbyterian Church in Ulster, it was days of opposition. There was tremendous opposition. Men would have spit upon you because you were a Free Presbyterian, because you took your stand outside the camp of apostasy and were standing up for the crown rights of King Jesus and were standing up for the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And because of that, there was a time of persecution. Where could we go but to God in prayer? We relied upon the Lord. We sought the face of God. And the brethren and sisters knew what it was to pray. Many times they prayed through the night, seeking the face of God for the power of God upon his people. Because they knew without the Lord, we had nothing. We had nothing. And I trust that this congregation here in Toronto will see the urgency and the value and the importance of prayer. Because we need to seek the face of God. You see, the Lord Jesus says, "I will build my church." But God's people must go forward on their knees. Jonathan Edwards talked about storming heaven with prayer. Hudson Taylor said, transacting business with God. And I ask your heart and I ask my heart this morning, do we see the need for prayer among the people of God? We want to do something for God. We want to do something more for God. We want to see God moving in this city and across this nation. Friend, we must first of all seek the face of God, for without me, you can do nothing. And the people of God and the Church of Jesus Christ will move forward on their knees. First of all, seeking the face of God to pray. And men ought always to pray, not to faint. Somebody said one time, if you want to see how important and how popular a denomination is, go to the church on Sunday morning. If you want to know how popular the preacher is, go to church on the Sunday evening. If you want to know how popular the Lord is, go to the prayer meeting during the week. Friend, the sad reality is this. The prayer meeting is the Cinderella meeting. Because many men and women of God's people do not come to pray. But they want God's blessing. You see, they want God to move. You see, they want God to revive His work again. And yet they do not see the urgency, the need, the value of prayer. The second thing I want you to notice, not only were they a people of prayer, but I want you to notice it was a church of power. In Acts chapter 1, the Lord Jesus said to His disciples before He went back to heaven, He said this in chapter 1, verse 8, "Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Yes, they had to start in Jerusalem. Had to start in Jerusalem. But they needed power to do that. Turn to chapter 4. And in chapter 4, in the verse number 31, it says, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." And because of their prayer, they had power. They sought the face of God before they went forward. They sought the face of God. They realized that without the power of God, they could do nothing. It's not by our might. It's not by our power. It is by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And I want to tell you, we need in our day and generation the power of God in our pulpits. We need the preachers filled with the Holy Ghost and with power. You know, the charismatics, I believe, have robbed us. And robbed many preachers even preaching about be filled with the Spirit. Because they're afraid to be connected and be associated with the charismatic movement. Let me tell you, we can have all our buildings. We can have all our programs. But without me, the Lord says, ye can do nothing. And without my power. And the Church of Jesus Christ will be absolutely ineffective in this city unless they know the power of the Spirit of God. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Tozer said, if God were to take the Holy Ghost out of much of what the church is doing, the work would go on and nobody would know the difference. Because, friend, much of the work is done in the power of the flesh. And then we wonder why not much is happening. And I say that if we want to see God move, if we want to see the power of God experienced once again, we have got to spend time before the Lord, the preacher, every time he steps into this pulpit. He needs the power of God to preach. He's not up here to preach himself. He's not up here to enter into a beauty contest or a power of oratory of man's skill and preaching. Because without the Lord, friend, he can do nothing. I could not change the heart of any man. Brother Sanders could not. Brother McClellan could not change the heart of any man. It's the Spirit of God can do that.
I cannot call a sinner to repentance. I can preach the word of God, but it is the Spirit of God that draws a sinner whose heart, Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened. We need to see that again. We need to see the power of God experienced in such a way. In the book of Acts chapter 6, in verse number 8, it says, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." And then verse 10, it says, "And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spake." That's what we need today. And that's what all our churches need. And that's what the Free Presbyterian Witness, not only here in Canada, but right across the world, it is the preaching in the power of the Spirit of God. Because without God's power, we'll be useless. When Jonathan Edwards preached, he in many ways didn't preach, he read. He read his sermons, and in actual fact, his eyes were so blinded they could hardly, he had to lift the manuscript up and read it like this. They could not say they were influenced by the look of the preacher, because many times they could not see his face. But when Jonathan Edwards preached, "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God," men and women trembled in their seats. A fear of God came upon the congregation, and men and women sitting beside, yes, the pillars in the church, some of them held on. They felt themselves dropping into hell. Some cried out for the preacher to stop. Someone would lead them to Jesus Christ under the powerful preaching of the Word of God. Friend, there's still power in the Word of God. There's still power. And there's still power for preachers as they stand upon the pulpit, because they dare not rely upon their own power or their own strength or their own influence. In the days that I look back, and Brother McClellan and I talked about this, in the early 70s, those were days of revival in Northern Ireland. And every time you went into the pulpit, God was doing something new. God was doing something wonderful. There's a great stir of God, friend, but it was of God. It wasn't of man. It wasn't of Ian Paisley. It was of God. You see, if it had been of man, it would just fizzle out. But Jesus says, "I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail, shall not be able to hold out against it." Why? Because there's power. We need that power again today. I need it every time I stand in the pulpit. Blessed power. And every time your preacher steps into this pulpit, every child of God ought to pray, "God, give this man power. Give him a double portion." That's what Elisha realized he needed. And Elijah was called away, and that was his desire. "What shall I give?" He says, "Give me a double portion. Thy Spirit." Thank God, God answered his prayer, because it was genuine. He prayed according to the will of God and in the authority of the Word of God, and God gave him that request. He gave him a double portion. And God's child that stands Sunday after Sunday in this pulpit, friend, don't take it for granted, because he needs to come with a message from the Lord. Sunday by Sunday, something fresh to feed the flock. To feed the flock of God. And he needs power. Yes, there were people of prayer. There were people of power. But there's something else that was emphasized if you read the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Because in those days there were the preachers. There were people. There was a church of preachers, and the emphasis was upon preaching. I know we live in a day and age that people want to be entertained. Dr. Paisley said God didn't call him to entertain the goats. He called him to preach to the sheep and feed the sheep. And friend, let me tell you, in the Word of God, if you just turn with me to the book of the Acts of the Apostles a moment, chapter 5. And verse number 42, it says this, Acts chapter 5, verse 42, and daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Preach Jesus Christ. Chapter 8. If you go to chapter 8 and the verse number 4, it says, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching. Preaching the word. Verse number 5, it says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. He's preaching. Verse 35 of the same chapter, it says, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scriptures and preached unto him. It wasn't the number of people. He preached. He preached unto that Ethiopian eunuch. He was a person alone. He spoke to the people of Samaria, and God sent a gracious movement of his spirit, and many people were saved, but he preached unto them. Go to chapter 10, verse number 34. And Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of person. Verse 42, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. You know that the emphasis over and over again is this. It's preach, 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 preach. What did Paul said to Timothy? As Paul was about to go home to heaven and to die for the cause of Jesus Christ, he wrote to young Timothy the last letter, and this is what he said. It was his last words of advice. He says, Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word. And God has called Dr. Saunders to preach the word. And that's what we need in these days. We need men with the authority of God to stand up in the pulpit and to declare, as Elijah did, thus saith the Lord, I have a word from the Lord for you. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except to be sent? And God has called them. God has sent them to preach the word. And I said to him with all my heart, brother, every time you step into this pulpit and stand here, just preach the word. They preached unto them Jesus Christ. And he's the center of all our message. It's Jesus Christ. They preached unto him Jesus. Philip opened unto the Ethiopian eunuch as he sat on that chariot. And he read Isaiah the prophet, Isaiah chapter 53. And he said, do you understand what you read it? He says, how can I understand it? And he invited Philip up into the chariot. And he pointed him to Christ. And that's the duty of the preacher. Point men and women to Christ. For he's the only answer. There is no Savior outside of Jesus Christ. There is no hope of heaven outside of Jesus Christ. There is no eternal life outside of Jesus Christ. There is no heaven for souls except it is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And whether it be in chapter 11, chapter 13, chapter 14, you'll find preach, preach, preach. And that's what God raised up in Ulster. And that was what God has raised up in Canada through this testimony of the Free Presbyterian Church. We're not perfect. Thank God we're preaching a perfect Christ. A Savior who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. A Savior who is without fault or without sin and without stain. The sinless, spotless, holy Lamb of God that came to seek and to save that which was lost. Thank God we know that's true because he came to seek and save us. If you're saved today. And our brothers called to preach and our ministers are called to preach. But there's something else about the church. in the Acts of the Apostles is this. Go with me, please, to the chapter 2. It says in verse 46 of chapter 2, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. It was a church of praise. And there's something that was characteristic about the Free Presbyterian Witnesses, this, that they were a happy people. They praised the Lord. They loved to sing. They loved to sing the songs of Zion. They loved to sing about their Savior. It says, praising God. Yes, there was added, God was doing a mighty work, and there was tremendous joy among the people. Yes, there was persecution. They were being opposed. They were being persecuted for their testimony of the Lord Jesus. But they had a joy. They had a joy in the Lord. Turn to chapter 5. In chapter 5, verse number 41, it says, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. They counted a joy. They were not disheartened. They were not discouraged because of the opposition, friend. Because they loved the Savior, they were willing, no matter what it cost, to take their stand for Christ. And there was a joy in the Lord. And I think back in those early days that our brother will remember as well. And in all of those meetings, there was a tremendous joy among the people of God. Yes, we were opposed, we were spit upon, we were laughed at, we were scorned, we were mocked, we were imprisoned. And I ought to know because I spent 3.5 months in prison because of my stand for the Lord. But there was joy. We didn't lose our joy. You see, our joy was not in our circumstances. Or you would lose it when your circumstances change. But our joy was in Christ. Our joy was in Him. We rejoiced in the Lord. And the Bible says, Nehemiah chapter 8, it says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I asked you today, are you a rejoicing believer? Or as somebody asked a person one day, how are you today, brother? Miserable as usual, thank God. Is that what you are? Let me ask you this question. What do you think it tells to the world? What kind of a testimony does it tell to the world that God's child is walking around as if God was dead? And when he looks at what's happening in the world, it's lost, it's lost, it's hopeless. There is no hope for the future. I want to tell you, my friend, there is hope for the future. Because Christ is our hope. We've got a hope that's steadfast and sure. It's anchored to the rock which cannot move. It's grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. God's people ought to rejoice in the Lord. Yes, in the midst of our circumstance. What did Paul say? He's writing from a prison. And what does Paul say to the Christians in Philippi? He says, rejoice in the Lord. The next word is always. Not some days. Not just when the sun's shining, friend, but when the snow comes. In the dark days. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And then he says this, and again I say, he emphasizes it. This is the Holy Ghost through the Apostle Paul. Again I say, rejoice. Are you happy in the Lord today? Are you known for a child of God that can see in the midst of every situation that God's there? He's not only there in some situations. Thank God he doesn't change. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. He's the same forever. We sing the old hymn in Ulster. The children of the Lord have a right to shout and sing. Their way is growing bright. Our souls are on the wing. We're going by and by to a palace of a king. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm nearer home than I was yesterday. I'm nearer heaven. And friend, let me tell you, no matter what comes in life, remember this, all things work together for good. Not some. Not most. But God says all things work together for good to them that love God. You say to me, preacher, but hold on one moment. You're not in my circumstances, no friend, and you're not in mine. I've walked a dark road. I've sat in tears with a broken heart. I've seen what death can do and what sickness can do to my loved ones, and even in my own body in the past. But God says all things work together for good. To them that love the Lord. Are you in that verse this morning? Do you love the Lord? You see, you can't claim the promise if you're not in the Lord. If you don't love the Lord. And we know that all things work together. Listen, Joseph was misunderstood. Joseph was sold by his brothers. Joseph took a stand for God and did that which is right in Pharaoh's house and in Potiphar's house. And listen, he was put in prison. And yet you'll never find Joseph complaining. No. It always says the Lord was with him. The Lord is with him. And then he met up with his brothers, and this is what he said this. He says, you meant it for evil. Yes, I know. That day you sold me, you meant it for evil. But God meant it for good. Do you see the hand of God in your circumstances, friend? You'll not really rejoice in days of adversity unless you see that God's still there. No matter what the circumstance is. Time's away. Let me just give these just as I close. In the book of the Acts of the Apostles, it said this in chapter 2. It says, and there were added, verse 47, and the Lord added to the church daily such I should be saved. Verse 41, it said, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Go to chapter 4, verse number 4. Howbeit many of them that heard the word believed, and the number of the men were about 5,000. Verse 32 of chapter 4. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Chapter 5, verse 14. And believers were the more added to the Lord. Multitudes, both of men and women. What do you see? It was a church of progress. Now, I know in my ministry there are times whenever the tide has gone out. But praise God, the tide came back in. And you look to the Lord in the midst of every situation. But we see progress. We see a church moving forward, lengthening their cords and strengthening their stakes. And what I want to say to our brethren and sisters here this morning, never lose the vision for greater things. Without the vision, the people perish. And no matter how difficult the days are, no matter how troublesome that we find that life may be, even in the work of God, friend, Keep your eyes upon the Lord, because God's able to do much more than this. The church of God had just moved forward. Claim ground. You know, those early days, whenever you went to a meeting, it was not if somebody was saved. It was how many. Because God was just adding to the church daily. Such as should be saved. One last thought. There were a people of passion. Look at chapter 18, Acts chapter 18, and verse number 5. In Acts chapter 18, verse 5, it said, "And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ." In chapter 20, in verse number 31, "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I have ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears." They were a people of passion. They had a love for the lost. When the Lord Jesus looked over the city of Jerusalem and he saw a city that had rejected and turned away, it says Jesus wept. He had a broken heart over a city that was lost. As you look at Toronto this morning, let me ask you a question as I close. How many tears have you shed over the lost of Toronto? As you're walking amongst men and women, and the teeming multitudes of men and women walk past, remember every one of them is a precious soul. Remember every one of them is a traveler to eternity. And if they die without Christ, are lost forever. And hell's a real place for him. The tragedy of a soul in hell. And Paul warned them with tears. May God give us a broken heart, compassionate spirit. May God give us a love for souls. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy word this morning. We pray that thou will bless it to all of our hearts. Help us to go out from thy house today. Give us a desire to pray, not to faint. Oh God, give us power. Help thy servant as he stands in the pulpit to preach the word. Oh God, that we might see that progress moving forward, claiming ground for Jesus. Give us a spirit of praise, even in days of adversity, knowing that thou art still upon the throne. And give us a compassion for the lost. In Jesus' name.